It winters in Antarctica. Christmas Day. It was hot and sunny in Santiago, the capital of Chile in South America. It was a most unusual December for us, used as we were to cold Decembers in the Northern Hemisphere. We bounced out of our beds quickly, wished each other Merry Christmas, and skipped down the stairs into the living room. There stood our tree, decorated with bright buntings, shiny colored balls, and twinkling lights. But something was missing. There were no gifts from our parents under the tree, or from Santa for that matter. Mystified, we approached the tree slowly, but under the tree we saw two small white envelopes with our names on them. We got down on our hands and knees and crawled around the tree, hoping to find a hidden gift we had missed. Nothing, only the white envelopes. Disappointed, we peeled open the envelopes. To our surprise, each envelope held a small computer-printed invitation. It said, "This invitation entitles you to travel to Antarctica from 17 to 28 February 2005. Flight, Santiago to Punta Arenas, Chile. Ship, Punta Arenas to Antarctica." Are we hallucinating? We thought. Antarctica, are they kidding us? Our parents were now grinning widely at us. They assured us this was no trick. They and we had been invited to go to Antarctica as part of an expedition led by the Chilean Navy. The purpose of the expedition was to set up the first mobile phone base on the Antarctic mainland. So far, we had only read a little about Antarctica in geography textbooks. It was listed as the seventh continent of the world, largely unexplored, covered in ice and snow all year round. It released gigantic icebergs, had quirky little penguins that looked like cute butlers in their black and white plumage. Its ancient name was Terra Incognita, the unknown land. Now we were actually going into this unknown, frozen, and faraway place. Our chests puffed up, and we began to think of ourselves as great explorers, ready to conquer stormy seas and discover the untold secrets of our planet. We couldn't wait to surf the web for more information. We found that we would traverse the world's most violent seas and skim past yet unnamed islands to reach the mysterious continent of Antarctica. Our sailing route would take us from the city of Punta Arenas in Chile through the Strait of Magellan, down the Beagle Channel, past Wollaston Island and Cape Horn, then across the Drake Passage and on to Antarctica. We could feel the tension on the ship. Everyone looked serious, their faces taut with anxiety. It was our third night on board, and it was time to enter the Drake Passage. This passage is the principal reason why the continent of Antarctica was not discovered for a long time. Seafaring explorers and courageous captains just could not get across it, nor pierce its mantle of ice and snow and shrouds of mist. Occasionally, one can encounter the Drake Lake, with low winds and calm waters, but one was more likely to get the fearsome Drake Shake, unleashing all the fury of the elements. You have waters so savage and treacherous that even the most experienced sailors fear to cross. Even with modern technological advances in seafaring, merciless storms in the Drake can leave ships stranded. It seemed that we were heading for some awesome conditions. Now we were moving towards the Antarctic convergence. The waters of the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans churn around Antarctica in a windy fury. The beginning of the Drake Passage itself gave us a preview of how terribly fierce the seas would be all along. By bedtime, the weather had deteriorated sharply. The ship was lurching alarmingly. Waves 32 to 50 feet high were breaking over its bow and stern. The Drake Passage was rocking and rolling, and how? our ship bobbed up and down like a cork in the heaving, raging waters. Our previous brief encounter with the Drake had not prepared us for the shaky, shaky shakes. We had imagined, at the worst, an experience close to the most hair-raising rides in Disneyland. Not one of us had expected the full wind of 90 knots that had hit us around 2 in the morning. With 30-meter-high waves crashing into it, the ship rocked so wildly that not one of us felt inclined to make it for breakfast later that morning. We stayed in our cabins and clung to our berths. The vicious seas and the screaming winds all converged to put us through the Drake shake. We were afraid to let go of the side rails for fear of being pitched out onto the floor. We had taken seasickness pills, but there was no time to even think of seasickness. At some point, we gave up trying to sleep and just concentrated on keeping ourselves on the berth. By the time we had crossed the Drake, over the next 2 days, we ended up with skin burns and strained muscles from sliding from one end of the berth to the other. We would have loved to take dramatic pictures of the ship's bow crashing through mountain waves. But after the first few, this was out of the question. Just getting from our bunks to the bathroom was risky business. Dad was thrown clear across the cabin once and was lucky not to have cracked open his head. Luckily, we were by ourselves in the cabin at the time, so no one saw us crawling like insects to the toilet. The crossing of the Drake was a nail-biting, hair-raising experience. Howling winds, zero visibility, mist and fog. No sun in enormous waves tossing and spinning the ship around like clothes in a washing machine. It had taken us 2 full days and 2 full nights to get across the Drake. During our 5th night on board, we felt the tossing of the ship subside and sank thankfully into a long-awaited sleep of exhaustion. We woke up in the morning of the next day to find that we had crossed the Drake and were officially in Antarctica. Small icebergs floated all around the ship like a silent, curious welcome party, while one large tabular berg lay lazily to the right side. We dug into a hearty breakfast, grateful to be alive, to be able to stand straight without being knocked down. Enduring such a stormy crossing was an experience to remember. The weather had eased and the rolling of the ship was now almost pleasant, like a comfortable rocking chair. Our first sighting of land was Smith Island, but we did not stop there. We crossed the Gullah Strait, a picture postcard waterway, heading for Paradise Bay on the Antarctic Peninsula, the northward finger of the polar continent. The morning sun was still circled in pale mists. It was perceptibly colder both above and below desk. A lone albatross who had taken a shine to us and led us on through the worst of the Drake Passage, now welcomed us to the Antarctic. We dug our hands into the kangaroo pouch of our windcheaters and sighed. We wished time would run faster. With excitement goosebumping our skin, we waited for our first landfall on the fabled continent of Antarctica.